Well, God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts would be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen. As I was thinking about Ash Wednesday tonight, and I was just kind of, you know, processing and thinking about what to talk about, you know, over the last few weeks. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and I thought, Ash Wednesday. I thought, Ash. Oh, okay. There's a key word in the title of tonight's theme, which is Ash. And it made me think about some memories that I had. Have you ever driven through a place that's been devastated by fire? I've done it a couple of times. You know, growing up in Southern California, I learned that early on in November tends to be fire season. In the spring, around this time of year, we get a lot of rain. You know, it's really nice. You get some good rainy days. You know, oh, yeah, all the reservoirs are full and, you know, everything's going to be great. Any drought conditions are gone. This is wonderful. And that's wonderful. And the hills are green and maybe there's snow on the mountains. And it's just great. It's beautiful. You love it. And then as the weather starts to warm up and things start to dry out, just like it does here, then the green grass that had grown about waist high out in the, you know, out on the sides of the roads and the highways and the byways starts to turn yellow and then starts to turn brown and then just sits there and waits for some foolish person to throw a cigarette butt out the window. You take that cigarette butt that gets thrown out the window, or chains that cause a spark, or maybe Mother Nature with a lightning bolt in a storm. And you add some wind from the Santa Ana winds, which we know a little bit about that. I mean, we had some winds today, didn't we? You add some wind from the Santa Ana winds, and next thing you know, you've got thousands and thousands of acres burning. It's an amazing sight to see on television. I've never been there, thank God. The summer camp that I loved so dearly was about 100 yards from being burned up by a fire about 20 years ago, but thankfully it was saved. But it's an amazing sight to see on TV. I remember when I was a kid watching the news in Malibu and the Palisades back years ago when the Palisades burned a different time, and Carlsbad and Vista and the San Diego area burned. And all these different things. I watch it on television at night, and it always looked so amazing. The trees were lit up like Roman candles, and if you watch the scenery at night when it's dark and the television and the helicopters are flying over, it looks like a lava flow. The way that the orange and the yellow is just pouring over the hills. It was a sight to see. Years ago, one of my last camping trips I took with my dad up there in those same mountains near Mammoth Mountain, we were driving around Central California, and we came across the remains of a raging fire that devastated the Owens Valley near on the other side of the Sierra Nevada Mountains from Yosemite. We were literally on the other side of the Sierra Nevadas from Yosemite driving around. As we drove through, once had been a beautiful pine forest. All that was left were blackened matchsticks pointing to the sky. What once was green and teeming with life was now desolation, a reminder of the destruction that had come earlier that year. I think at times all of us can relate to that too, can't we? We've all been through times of destruction. We've all seen the destruction that sin can cause in our lives, haven't we? Whether it's decisions we've made, job choices, job losses, sickness, death, pain, whatever it is that we've experienced, things we've done to ourselves or things that have been done to us outside of our control. Lives that were once green and teeming with life and possibility were just an ashen reminder of what was once there. We see it when a little child comes into the world full of life and promise, excitement. So what do we call a baby? A bundle of joy, right? We see it and it's so wonderful and so much possibility and it's so exciting. Only to become a teenager and be burned by relationships, betrayals, and rejection. mean Facebook posts and things that other teenagers say to each other to hurt each other's feelings and cut each other down. Life so full of promise, cut down by alcohol, drugs, cancer, and COVID. We see it every time a man and a woman stand at the altar. Every time a man and a woman stand at the altar, the bride's so beaming and bright, dressed in white, and they make those solemn vows, I do, I will, until nothing but death parts us, they say. But then, as we all know, those of us who've been married for a day or two, we all know that hurtful words don't come that far after, right? Disagreements, anger, lustful looks, physical abuse sometimes in the worst case scenarios, alcohol, adultery cause marriages to be matchsticks on the horizon. We see it in friendships. I was just talking to someone I met at the library yesterday. I was talking to a fellow and he was telling us about his life and we were chatting about different things and he said he can't go visit his family in California anymore because all they want to do is talk politics and complain about the political people that he likes. And so he's been ostracized from his family. This older man, looks like he's in his 70s, can't go hang out with his kids or grandkids without them kicking him out of the house because of politics. Arguments, greed, and rivalries come between us, and we're left with the charred remains of friendships that once burned bright and warm, but are now destroyed. We took a world that God gave us, a garden so green and beautiful, a world that had everything we needed. But when Adam and Eve were told, as we heard a few weeks ago in our sermon series, that, you know, by a serpent, that God was holding out on them, that God had something, but he wasn't sharing it with them. And if only you reach out with your own hands and do the thing that he told you not to do and take it by the hand, you'll have what God is keeping from you and you'll know exactly what it is that God has that you should have. And so they tried to take it by force. As I have, as many of us have. Their decision brought destruction, their garden corrupted, and everything that was good had been uprooted. Today we see cities burning over politics, and as our country celebrates its 250th birthday, we've never been more divided. I love the song that Mike sang earlier by a fellow named Kip Fox, who was actually a high school and college classmate of mine. His song is called This Dust. And every time I hear that song, every time I sing that song, I also think of a quote that I think was from the Red Letter Challenge book, in which the author of the Red Letter Challenge talked about dust. You know, because what did God do? He created us out of dust. And it makes me think, what is dust? I mean, clay, we have a lot of that out here. Clay can be used for something useful, right? You know, clay is used to make bricks. It can be used to make pottery. It can be used to mold things, make beautiful pieces of artwork. That's what clay is used for. Soil, I go buy soil all the time to plant flowers in my garden. And so it's used for gardening, planting crops, feeding your family. But what is dust? Dust is that stuff that my wife tells my daughter to go grab a paper towel and clean up off of the mantle. That's what dust is. It's that stuff that we spray some Pledge on and wipe off because we want to see the cleanliness that's under it. It's dirty. It's a mess. It ruins things. It gets inside of your electronics and your technology, and it causes problems. That's what dust is. It isn't very valuable. It's pretty worthless. In fact, nobody pays for dust. You don't go to the store and buy a bag of dust, do you? Anyone ever do that? You know, you don't buy a bag of dust to plant anything or to make concrete or to do anything like that. We don't buy bags of dust. It's pretty worthless. It's what we pick up on a paper towel and throw in the trash. Even worse, what is ash? Ashes are the leftover remnants of destruction. Ashes are what's in my fire pit in my backyard, and my stupid dog runs around and wants to sniff it the day after I have a fire and then gets a bunch of ash all over her face and all over her muzzle and then goes wants to come over and cuddle with me or rub up against my white shirt or get her ashy face all over the pillowcase. Ash reminds us that something bad has happened. Ash is dirty. Ash shows us that destruction has been there. Just talk to the people in California at the Pacific Palisades area and the Malibu area. They'll tell you all about ash. And tonight, we wear these ashes on our foreheads, and we're reminded that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Or if you listened, as maybe I or John shared, we either said from dust we came and to dust we shall return, or maybe we said from ashes to ashes. Those are biblical phrases, biblical terminology. Because after all the fire and the destruction, in the end, all of our works, as the fellow from a book of Ecclesiastes says, all of our good works are meaningless, and we will return to the dust. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Maybe you've heard a pastor say that at a funeral service. I say it every time I lay a loved one, a church member, into the ground, into their place of the burial. I go over to the casket and I take some dirt out of a bucket that's usually there, and I make the sign of the cross just like we have on our foreheads. I go to the head of the casket. If you ever wondered, if you ever seen me or Pastor Mike do it, and you wonder what the heck is he doing? This is what we're doing. I take the sand out of the bucket, and I go to the head of your loved one's casket, and I make the sign of the cross with that sand as a reminder, just like we wear these ashes on our forehead, that person who's going to be buried is a child of God, washed in the blood of Christ, redeemed, bought by his sacrifice on the cross. And even though we're witnessing destruction in this person's death, even though we're watching a person who's about to be laid to rest, even though there is destruction all around us, that's not where the story ends. That's not where our story ends. Because God sent one in our likeness, in our form. He sent one who was made of the exact same dust that you and I are made of. He born of a woman, born into the brokenness of this curse, born under the law as you and I have been born under the law, to face what we face, but emerge victorious. Where you and I suffer, he suffered too. Where you and I fail, where you and I succumb to temptation and succumb to sin, he was sinless. He emerged triumphant. He took this world that's been broken, and using the super glue of his blood, he made it new again. He took those nails that were hammered through his forearms and into his feet, and he used those nails to build his kingdom that can't be broken and will never burn. As sad and as terrible as the ash following a fire is, and as devastated as it looks, fire can actually bring new life. And when I was a camp counselor, I used to walk around, we'd do a hike, and we'd talk about the different trees in the forest, and we would walk around and discuss these different trees. And one of the things that was neat was walking around, and there was a tree that had been struck by lightning years ago. And it had been struck, and you could see it like split in half, and then there was other trees where you could see the devastation of fire that had burned and things that had happened. And as a counselor, we're walking around talking to these kids about what happens after these fires and lightning and all these things happen in the forest. And again, as devastating as fire is, it brings new life, because what does it do? It clears out the canopy. It opens up the forest so that you look down on the ground and what do you see? New plants. You see, new plants that if the trees and the canopy and everything were closed in and it was all you know a big mesh and a ceiling of green and trees, there wouldn't be any light for these little saplings to grow. They'd be fighting for the light that's there under these giant 100-year-old trees. And so sometimes the fire brings new life. There's some trees that actually have their seed pods or their cones are made so that until they get to a certain temperature, they don't open up. And so it takes the heat, the fire of a certain temperature to open up these seed pods to spread the seeds for new life to happen. And that's what we see in our own lives as well. Through his death on a tree 2,000 years ago, through the pain and the fire that Jesus endured, through the pain that he felt, his suffering and his death, he gives us life. You know, I said earlier, you know, people go and buy clay because they're, you know, they're maybe an artist and they want to, you know, make a pot or make something beautiful with this clay that they can spin and turn into something. Or you'll go and buy, you know, concrete mix so you can make concrete. You'll go and buy soil so you can plant a garden, but nobody buys a bag of dust. But that's exactly what our Savior did. Our Savior, because of his great love for us, paid the price to buy you and me a bag of dust. He went and he paid the ultimate price to buy this bag of dust. And it cost him everything. So as we start this Lenten journey tonight, it's the same for us. Scripture tells us that just like those saplings that grow after a fire, after the destruction that's been caused, because of his death on the cross, we have new life. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've screwed up, no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how ashamed of yourself that you are, the old is gone and the new has come. In just a few minutes, we'll be taking communion, and in that meal, we're reminded of his great love for us. Because we're reminded that as we take that bread and we take that wine, we're reminded that he gave everything for us. He gave everything for you. He gave everything because of his great love for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the peace which passes all understanding would keep and guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, we give you thanks that you came down. You're not a God who's far off. You're not a God who's so far above us that you can't understand what we're going through. But instead, Lord, you came down to us and you paid the ultimate sacrifice to pay for us this dust and make us new. We just thank you for that tonight. And we pray that as we begin our Lenten journey in humility and reflection and repentance, that you would restore us, encourage us, and make us new tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. At this time, we will go ahead and take a moment and just give thanks to our great God. Thanks.